Well, as a Ukrainian ceasefire remains fragile, former U.S. officials are calling for providing the Ukrainian military with light shoulder-fired anti-armor missiles. Arms exports are a U.S. forte. The U.S. is the biggest in the world for arms exports. Joining us from Washington to discuss is Matt Schroeder, a senior researcher at the Geneva-based research group Small Arms Survey. Matt, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's get to the bigger picture in a second, but first let's talk about what we just mentioned, light anti-armor missiles. What are those used for?
Well, according to media reports, what is being considered are Javelin anti-tank missiles, and they were designed for use against heavily armed vehicles, but in recent years they've been adapted for many different purposes, including attacking bunkers and buildings and other targets. But their primary purpose and what they are designed to do best is defeat tanks and other very heavily armored vehicles.
Can they make a big difference, for instance, in Ukraine?
Huge difference. These are very effective weapons, top of the line. U.S. anti-tank missiles would give the Ukrainians a potent weapon against any armored vehicles that are used by the separatists.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the big picture because the U.S. is the largest exporter of these small arms in general. What is being exported exactly from the U.S.?
Well, the U.S. Exports a lot of different small arms and light weapons, everything from 22 caliber ammunition for hunting rifles to man-portable air defense systems. So U.S. exports span the gamut of small arms and light weapons technology.
And where are they going?
They're going everywhere. The U.S. exported weapons and military equipment to over 140 countries in fiscal year 2013. There are – what you would do is you count the number of countries that don't receive some type of U.S. weapons.
It's easier to count the number of countries that don't receive than the countries that do.
Yes.
And what's the biggest recipient of U.S. weapons?
So if we're talking just small arms and light weapons, and this is based on the documented trade, the top five recipients of U.S. exports were Canada, Australia, Afghanistan, Israel, and Thailand. And this is based on customs data. So this would be deliveries versus agreements.
And they're getting mostly things like what?
It really depends on the recipient. But the U.S. exports firearms, it exports light weapons, it exports parts for small arms and light weapons, ammunition for small arms and light weapons, just about everything.
How do you track what is being exported by the U.S. government and by private companies? Is it easy? Is transparency a problem?
It's complicated. It's extremely complicated, but it's less difficult than with other countries. The U.S. Regularly submits detailed customs data to the UN, which is then compiled into a database that can be downloaded and analyzed. It also publishes several annual reports of varying utility and specificity. And from that data, when combined and analyzed, you can get a pretty good sense of general sense of what's going where. The specifics are often very hard to nail down. We may know, for example, that the U.S. has licensed the export of items categorized under Category 1 of the U.S. munitions list, which includes firearms up to 12.7 millimeters and parts. But we don't know specifically what type of firearm. So that could be a 22 caliber hunting rifle, or it could be a 50 caliber sniper rifle. So that level of specificity is often hard to come by, but the official data is a good starting point for further research.
Well, and I'd imagine there's a pretty big black market going on as well.
Yeah, that's much more difficult to track systematically and globally.
Is it possible, do you think, for a country to export arms in a way that won't end up feeding the illegal trade or terrorism or crime or human rights abuses?
There's no way to guarantee that the weapons that are exported won't be diverted to unauthorized end users or used in a way that is in violation of end use agreements. But there are ways of mitigating that risk.
Such as what?
Before the shipment is arranged, careful vetting of the intended end users is one way. Make sure they have a good track record of not retransferring without U.S. permission, vetting all the parties to the transfers, freight forwarders, brokers, et cetera, so that to minimize the chance that the shipment will be diverted en route. And then there are what are called post-shipment end-use monitoring techniques, such as delivery verification and post-shipment physical inventory checks. Those are just a couple of examples, but there are several steps that governments can take to minimize the likelihood that the weapons they export will be acquired by terrorist armed groups.
Do they take those steps? Is that kind of vetting really done?
Yeah, the U.S. is actually one of the most conscientious exporters when it comes to end-use monitoring, when it comes to pre-license checks. Not every weapon receives the same amount of attention. A Stinger missile, for example, a man-portable air defense system, or a Javelin anti-tank missile, which is being the export of which is being discussed in Ukraine, they receive a lot of attention and a lot of scrutiny, whereas parts for hunting rifles, for example, you're not going to send U.S. representatives to the country of import to make sure that the storage conditions are perfect after they've been exported. That would just be too costly.
Matt Schroeder, a senior researcher at the Geneva-based research group Small Arms Survey. He's also co-author of The Small Arms Trade, A Beginner's Guide. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.